All right. Pax, I'll open the waiting room, and then whenever you're ready, you can start.
Okay.
Here we go.
I am open and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonors those who go before us. So lift me up to the light of change. There is hurting in my family, and there is sorrow in my town. There is panic all across the nation, and there is wailing the whole world round. But I am open and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonors those who go before us. So lift me up to the light of change. There may the children see more clearly, and may the elders be more wise. May the winds of change caress us, even though they burn our eyes. But I am open and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonors those who go before us. So lift me up to the light of change.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pax, for opening up the service with that beautiful song. And I want to welcome each of you. Good morning. My name is Katie, Pastor Katie. I'm pastor here at Tabernacle United Church. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm so glad to be here this morning to be worshiping with all of you. And we just welcome you to the service of worship. This is the day that God is making. This is the day that God is creating and inviting us into, to be co-creators with God in God's work of mercy and justice. So welcome to this time of worship. We want to especially welcome those of you who are visiting with us for the first time. If you are here and this is your first time, welcome. We're glad that you have chosen to be with us this morning. We would be happy for you to introduce yourself. If you feel comfortable in the chat box, just let us know your name and that you're here, and we would love to know of your presence. Also, there is an opportunity for to fill out a visitor card. We have a virtual visitor card, and we'll put that in the chat now and also at the end of the service. So if you could take time to fill that out, let us know a little bit about yourself. We would love to connect further with you. So welcome to all of us on this beautiful day. I want to just give a few announcements as we move into our worship. First of all, just a couple reminders of our weekly schedule. This week we will meet on Tuesday and Thursday morning at 8:30 to pray together. So our prayer gatherings are on Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30. Please join us for that time. We send out the links to that through our listserv. So let us know if you'd like to be added to the listserv and want to join us. We do not have Bible study this Wednesday. We will meet again the following Wednesday. So no Bible study this Wednesday. Also today after the service, we'll have some opportunity to gather and connect further. We have a virtual coffee hour. We have several breakout rooms. One will be to welcome new visitors. Another will be to go a little bit deeper in sermon discussion of the sermon from today. And then there'll also be a room just for general connecting and coffee hour chat. So there'll be lots of opportunities to connect further following the service today. We hope you can join us for that. I also want to encourage you to, if you haven't already, to read the newsletter that came out on Friday, this past Friday. There's some important news there about our plans to return to in-person worship, which are developing plans. It's a discernment process we're still in. But the bottom line there is that we will continue to be online throughout the summer. So that's just an important word for you to know, that we will continue to be online throughout the summer. And we have a transition team that is working on plans. And so you can learn more about that. If you read the newsletter, please let us know if you'd like access to that, if you did not receive that news. And also, we will send out a link to the survey that we're asking folks to participate in to let us know a little bit more about your needs and desires for returning to in-person worship. And so that is an important tool we're using, is this survey. And we will also share that survey link in our at the end of our service today. So if you could take some time to fill that out, we would really appreciate that. I want to give thanks today for Carly Frieders, who will be preaching for us. Carly has joined our TAB community over this past year during the pandemic, and moved to Philadelphia during the pandemic last year, and has become a part of our community. We're so grateful for Carly's voice. I've gotten to know Carly in particular through our Bible studies, and Carly has a wonderful love, deep love of God and for God's people, and she will be preaching today. Another thing about Carly in terms of her work is she works as a client advocate at the Delaware Public Defender's Office and as part of their Partners of Justice program. So we are so thankful for Carly being with us this morning and for bringing us the word. Thank you, Carly, for your work and your witness. We're really looking forward to hearing the Spirit speak through you today. Finally, I just want to acknowledge today, as many of you know, is Mother's Day. It's on the American calendar year, and Mother's Day, I want to simply acknowledge this morning as we gather. It can be a truly a happy day for many people, a special day for many, and certainly we give thanks and are celebrating today. But I also want to acknowledge this can be a painful and difficult day for folk too. Certainly in terms of celebrating, we want to celebrate all the special people in our lives who have been mothers to us in a variety of ways. That can mean blended families, foster parents, grandparent-led families, all of the people who have stepped into mothering roles, regardless of gender or biology. We celebrate them and we give thanks for them and stand on their shoulders. And so this is a day of celebration. On the other hand, I also want to acknowledge that it's a painful and difficult day for many. For some of us, even within our community, we have lost our mothers this past year. For some of us, we have estranged or toxic relationships with our mothers that is difficult. For others, we are mourning or are in difficulty because people want to become mothers and for whatever reason are not able to. So there's a lot in this day, and I want to acknowledge both the pain that some might be carrying, as well as the joy. And I think if we can acknowledge that and lift all that up today, and perhaps as we think of those for whom this might be a difficult day, perhaps we can think of also reaching out to those people and just acknowledging that this day holds all of those various feelings. And so maybe today we can be praying, holding all of these things up, both the celebration as well as some of the struggle. So let's do that today as we worship. And so now I want to invite us into a time of worship, and let us gather together and worship God. Amen.
Amen, and good morning. My name is Lucinda McGill Legendre, and I I use she, her, hers.
And I am Gwyneth Camara Huff, and I also use she, her, hers, and we will be joint doing the call to worship. I am speaking as the people. Please speak with me.
Join us in the call to worship. We are here to hear the word.
To love, to be loved, to be chosen.
To bear fruit that will last.
Let the Holy Spirit fall upon us.
Let us extol God in worship.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, we'll start with Lead Me, Guide Me. This morning, I think we could all use asking God for accompaniment with us and help along our journey. So let's sing together. And if you don't know the song, I think you'll learn it quickly.
Guide me along the way, for if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. I am weak and I need your strength and power. Help me over my weakest hour. Help me through the darkness, your face to see. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Lead me, guide me along.
This next song was brought to us by Lynn Lampman, and I find it such a great reminder of who we are and whose we are in singing this song.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't wanna be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is, tell me once again who I am to you, who I am. I belong to you, to you. When my heart is like a stone and I'm running far from home, remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough, remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, would you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you, that I belong to you. To you. I'm the one you love. I'm the one you love. That will be. I'm the one you love. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, I belong to you. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Oh, tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. To you. To you.
Let us continue to pray. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit can fall on us all, that Christ chooses us, that the will of God is knowable, that the will of God is to abide in God's love, to keep Christ's commandment to love one another and live in Christ's joy. And yet we struggle. Hear us, O God. Remind us that we are known. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession. We do not hear the word. We do not feel the Holy Spirit falling on us. We forget our baptism. We do not believe we are chosen. We do not know. We struggle to be known. We conceal our love for fear of rejection. We hide from the love of others. God, show us your joy in us, that our joy may be complete. Hear now these words of assurance. The Holy Spirit has fallen upon us. We are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We are chosen to love, to bear fruit that will last. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom. The kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The gates of your kingdom. justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom.
As we open up our hearts to the peace and joy that Christ gives each of us, we receive that and we pass it on to one another. So let us share that peace and that joy with each other. Let's greet one another with signs of Christ's peace. And may the peace be of Christ be with all of you. Let's go now to gallery view, and you can should be able to unmute, and let us greet one another with signs of Christ's peace.
Peace be with
peace.
You.
Peace with everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome, Nisha.
Thank
glad
you.
To see a new person. Thank you for being here.
Woo.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Good morning.
Kelly and Ray, for you. Welcome. Good to see
I'm
you.
I'm on the job.
Good morning,
peace.
Peace, Carolyn.
Peace. Peace, everyone. Thank
Ron.
You.
Peace, everyone. Thank you.
Ron.
Peace, Laura.
Peace.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace, Susanna. Good morning.
Peace, Deirdre.
Morning. Peace.
It's Mother's Day.
Chris, be with you.
That's cute. Peace, Mother's Day to everyone.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Oscar.
Hey, Oscar.
Jennifer and Rose. Peace, Nicole and Elliot.
Peace. And peace to Helen. Glad to see Helen's here.
Peace, Helen.
It's wonderful.
The first reading today comes from Acts, chapter 10, 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service where we invite children and the young at heart to come closer for the children's time. And if you are someone who would like to be a part of a smaller group of folks who is highlighted on our Zoom screen, you can go down to your reactions button on the bottom right-hand side and click raise hand to be a part of that smaller group. Let's sing to invite all those folks to the front.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Good morning. My name is Gwyneth and my pronouns are she, her. And I just wanted to, I was having trouble choosing. There are two books I really wanted to read with you today. And as it turned out, they were both by the same author. So just like Pastor Katie made a comment at the beginning of the service about it being Mother's Day, I'm just going to show you the one because I decided not to read it. But this is called On the Day You Were Born. And I bet a lot of you might have seen this book before. And my daughter, who's now a grown-up person of 25 years old, just wanted me to remind you how much she loved this book when she was little, because it made her realize that it wasn't just her mom or her grandmother or her dad. It was the whole world who was her mom. So I'm just going to make that note. And if you grownups have not read this book, you might want to find it. But the book I decided to read is actually another book. And I was so surprised because I love that book so much. And I was picked up this book that I hadn't read in a while. And then I looked and I said, oh my goodness, it's by the same author. And this book is called Out of the Ocean. So I'm going to turn my screen around so that you can see the book and not see me. I'm going to change my camera. So you should be able to see the book really well now. My mother says, you can ask the ocean to bring you something. If you look, she says, you might find it. Like the sun, she says, she asks for it every morning. And there it is, rising up out of the ocean. Is it true, I ask her? You can ask for anything? Keep watching, she answers. And the next day, the sun rises up out of the water one more time, just like she wanted. Can you ask the ocean to bring you for something special, I ask my mother. Every day I ask for water, she says, and look, water everywhere. Look how far the water stretches, how it sails above us in the clouds bigger than cities. And out there we can see water falling into the ocean all over again. I know you can ask the ocean for things like shells, because every time I go to the beach looking, there they are, tumbling and over end over end, arriving empty, most times worn by the sand and waves. But can you ask the ocean for treasure, I asked my mother. Certainly, she said, just be looking for it. So when we found it, we called it treasure, that broken glass that has rolled around on the floor until it's smooth and glowing. Green and brown are easy to find, but blue, that is special. And red, the rarest of all, can make you run all the way home just to show someone you found it. One day, a splintered board painted with a white stripe washed in, just what we wanted for the castle we were building. In fact, the board found us before we could even ask. At the ocean, things can surprise you like that. Walking this beach, I have found pelican feathers, a wooden shoe, floating glass balls, skate egg pouches, plastic boats, abandoned rafts, two unbroken sea urchin shells, messages curled inside bottles, carved wooden floats, coconuts, sea turtle skulls, a beam from a sunken ship, shark's teeth, and a giant pile of tangled rope. I've carried home all these things. And even though I didn't know it, each one turned out to be just what I wanted. But my mother, she keeps asking for things that are too big to carry home. Sun, water, silver moonlight, the sound of waves, sea turtle tracks at dawn. Those things are always here, I tell her. You just have to look for them. She laughs and says that now I know her secret. It's not the asking. It's the remembering to look. And sometimes, she says, the bigger the thing, the easier it is to forget to see it. I don't think I will ever forget to see something as big as the sun or water. But just to be sure, every day we help each other to look. So when I read this story and I was thinking about how this related to what the grownups are talking about today, it reminded me, the stories we're talking about talk about the Holy Spirit being there for everybody. Sometimes we don't always see the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a few weeks ago with things that you don't always see. It just spoke to me because I felt like in the ocean, they found all kinds of things, and the child didn't always know whether or not it was something they wanted, but it turned out to be just what they wanted. So I think as we look around at each other and look for the treasures that we find in our lives, when we look with eyes to see them as treasures, we can see just how special, just little things that we didn't even know, how special they are in our lives. And when we look around, part of what keeps us together as a community, we look around for God's presence and God's treasures in our lives and the lives of our friends, and we help each other keep looking. So if it gets hard for you to see what's right there, you have all the people in your family and in your church family, and your friends are there to help you keep looking. So I would like to close with a prayer. Dear God, please help me to always know that your treasures are there for me, all around me. And if I look to see them, I can find them. And when I forget, there are people there to help me see you and your love. Amen.
This morning, I thought of the song, Come Abide in Me, which was written by a friend of mine. Because of our gospel reading this morning, where it talks about God abiding in us. So I invite you to sing this song. I might even take a little more time with the we love you part later on in the song. Because both of those lines, we love you with all our hearts, and we love you because you loved us first, can be sung simultaneously. And I invite you to sing either one while I'm singing the other. Let's sing together.
How we love you, Lord.
loved us first. Come abide in me, and I will abide in you. Come, my beloved, you are greater than this world. In you I will overcome.
Our second scripture reading for today is from John 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Please pray with me. God, we thank you for bringing us this word. Most of all, we thank you for bringing us into a world where we can love and be loved. I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me today, as we grapple with some of the challenges of living by your commandment to love others. Thank you. Amen. When Pastor Katie asked me to preach today, I was both excited and nervous. Excited to share a message with a community that has already provided me so much opportunity for spiritual growth. Nervous because I have never preached before, and my knowledge of scripture is admittedly a bit rusty. Thankfully, though, when I looked at the lectionary readings for this week, I realized that no special skill in biblical exegesis would be required to write this sermon. Our reading today is about the most basic commandment of our faith. Love each other. They teach it to us from day one of Sunday school. How difficult could it be to talk about love? Yet this reading, this commandment, is difficult. It's difficult in a way we sometimes forget, precisely because as Christians, we repeat it so often. We grow up being told to love our neighbor as ourselves. We sing that as Christians, we shall learn to lead in love. We soak in the wisdom of ancestors in the faith, like Martin Luther King Jr., Dorothy Day, Oscar Romero, who describe love as a moral and political imperative. And somewhere along the way, we forget how unnatural it is to even talk of love this way, as an obligation. Think of the most typical contexts in which we speak of love outside the church. Imagine how strange it would be if a new parent said, "When I held my son for the first time, I felt so much love towards him because it seemed like what I ought to feel in the moment." Or consider how disappointed someone in a romantic relationship would be if she asked her beloved, "Why did you ever fall for me?" And her beloved replied, "I guess you just seemed so lonely, I felt obligated to." Typically, we describe love as something that just happens to us. Sometimes in expected ways, as when a parent holds their child for the first time, and sometimes in unexpected ways, as when we fall for someone we never imagined, but almost never because we decided we should love the person in question. Outside of religious contexts, Not only does it seem puzzling to talk of loving others on command, it seems totally antithetical to the nature of love to view it as something we feel for others out of obligation. But perhaps I'm confusing things by raising these cases of the parent or the romantic partner. Those are instances of familial or romantic love. This is a passage about Christian love, agape. And agape, some scholars say, is not the warm and fuzzies we get around friends or relatives or the sparks that fly when we fall for someone. Love in the Christian context is not something we feel at all. Love is something we do when we serve others or care for the least of these. The theologian Emily Askew, commenting on the same text we have before us today, says that love in this passage is not a psychological state, nor is it anywhere described as an internal quality. Love is an action, a really difficult action. The definition of love here is a radical willingness to die, not for your child or spouse, but for a fellow follower of Christ. So it seems the puzzle is solved. While it would be strange for God to order us to feel love, there is nothing strange about God ordering us to act lovingly. I like aspects of Askew's interpretation. I like that it invites us to see love as an active force in the world, as something that must radically alter the way that we treat others. But with its sole focus on our actions, Askew's interpretation also seems to me to be missing something. We all know what it is like to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Most of us have probably made a donation for the tax write-off. Most of us have probably listened to a friend in a time of need because we felt like we owed them for listening to us when we were in need. Most of us have probably read a book about racism or transphobia so that we could impress our colleagues or fellow congregants with how progressive and in touch we are. When I say most of us, of course, I'm including me. It is hard to make sacrifices. It is even harder to make sacrifices out of love. But that seems to be precisely what God requires of us. Indeed, as the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, another very famous passage on love, if I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So the puzzle remains. This scripture is asking us to, at the very least, genuinely care for our neighbors. This can be hard to do when our neighbors are so often radically different from ourselves. It can be especially hard to do when our neighbors act in ways that frustrate or befuddle or even harm us. And we might even wonder, as we put all this effort into reshaping our attitudes towards those neighbors whom we find especially difficult to love, whether we are really engaged in a self-defeating task. As I mentioned before, in most contexts, any notion of obligation seems to cheapen love. How can I genuinely care for you if I am only doing so because it is what God requires of me? How can someone take up this commandment and decide to live by it without entirely missing its point? In reflecting on these questions, my mind returned to a parable I first heard a few years ago, which concerns a woman who does set herself to the task of loving someone she previously found difficult to tolerate. The parable is from the British philosopher Iris Murdoch, and it is very British, but I think it has some insights to offer us into what it would look like to follow the commandment in our scripture today. And the parable is short, so I will read it in its entirety. A mother, whom I shall call M, feels hostility to her daughter-in-law, whom I shall call D. M finds D quite a good-hearted girl, but while not exactly common, yet certainly unpolished and lacking in dignity and refinement. D is inclined to be pert and familiar, insufficiently ceremonious, brusque, sometimes positively rude, always tiresomely juvenile. M does not like D's accent or the way D dresses. M feels that her son has married beneath him. Thus much for M's first thoughts about D. Time passes, and it could be that M settles down with a hardened sense of grievance and a fixed picture of D, imprisoned by the cliche, my poor son has married a silly, vulgar girl. However, the M of this example is an intelligent and well-intentioned person, capable of self-criticism, capable of giving careful and just attention to an object which confronts her. M tells herself, I am old-fashioned and conventional. I may be prejudiced and narrow-minded. I may be snobbish. I am certainly jealous. Let me look again. Here, I assume that M observes D until gradually her vision of D alters. D is discovered to be not vulgar, but refreshingly simple, not undignified, but spontaneous, not noisy, but gay, not tiresomely juvenile, but delightfully youthful, and so on. Now, it's important that we interpret this parable carefully. It is easy to misunderstand the point Murdoch is trying to make here about how we might come to see another person in a way that is loving and just. Although the mother-in-law in this story ends up describing her daughter-in-law with more complimentary language as the story goes on, the lesson here is not that we can bring ourselves to love others if only we focus on their positive qualities and ignore or reinterpret their negative qualities. Loving someone is certainly compatible with recognizing that they have flaws. There would be something, again, bizarre and cheap about love that you can only sustain if you turn a blind eye to someone's weaknesses and constantly remind yourself of their strengths. And as Christians, we certainly do not want to aim for love that is contingent on our neighbors having any positive qualities at all. In my mind, the important moment in this story is not when the mother begins to appreciate her daughter's weaknesses. It is when the mother begins to appreciate, when the mother begins to appreciate her daughter's strengths. It is when the mother begins to appreciate her own weaknesses. She recognizes that she is looking at her daughter-in-law through the warped lens of her own desires and expectations, her feelings that her son should be with a wealthy social elite. Her first step in coming to truly love her daughter is putting down this warped lens so that she can see her daughter as someone who exists independently of her own needs. Once the mother-in-law does this, she cannot help but discover that her daughter-in-law is something more than just a defective status symbol. She begins to love her daughter in a way that is not best captured by talk of fuzzy feelings or positive thoughts. Murdoch herself best describes the sort of love on display here when she writes that love is the extremely difficult realization that something other than oneself is real. Let me say that again because I think it's important. Love is the extremely difficult realization that something other than oneself is real. I think we spend a lot of time looking at others the way that the mother in this story starts out looking at her daughter. It's not just that we see people in a more negative light than they deserve because of certain prejudices that we carry. Sometimes we also romanticize or idealize people. Sometimes we pigeonhole them into certain roles within a story we are telling ourselves. Sometimes we are disgusted by others' frailties because we are afraid of our own. Sometimes we hardly notice anything about others at all, except for what they might be able to do for us. What these situations all have in common is that they involve looking at someone through the narrow lens of our own needs. And what I want to suggest is that this way of encountering another is fundamentally at odds with loving them. Recall earlier when there seemed to be something amiss with the person who admitted to loving a relative or partner out of duty. I think that sort of love strikes us as cheap because it involves seeing the person in question as a mere tool for the fulfillment of one's own obligations. I will love you, I will care for you, so that God will look favorably on me. Perhaps for these reasons, it is not truly possible to love someone out of obligation. Yet I still think that loving others is the most important obligation we have as Christians. I reconcile these views by seeing love as something like what is described in this story about the mother and daughter-in-law. Although we might not be able to force ourselves to feel love, I think that we can prepare ourselves to feel it by trying as best we can to put aside those ways of thinking which warp and narrow and instrumentalize others in our minds. In those few moments when I have succeeded at this difficult task, I have felt that I no longer need a sense of obligation to love others, because love just strikes me. The sacredness of the individual, the parts of them that defy my attempts to explain and instrumentalize, shine through and amaze me. I experienced something like what Peter must have experienced in our other passage for today, when his sermon, his usual way of thinking and operating in the world, is interrupted by the sight of something holy, something more real than even his own ideas, which he had come to preach. Now, let me make this view of love more concrete. I work at the Public Defender's Office in Wilmington. Right now, I have a caseload of 60 individuals who were referred to me because their public defender thought they might need help with housing or mental health treatment or addressing some other need. On days when my to-do list looks particularly long and intimidating, I sometimes catch myself thinking of the clients I serve simply as boxes to be checked off on my list. I feel annoyed if someone who usually never answers the phone picks up and I have to engage in a real conversation rather than simply note that I made the call as I was supposed to. I explain options to clients in crisis, and I secretly hope that they will choose the one which will be easiest for me to implement. In short, I hear everything my clients say through the filter of my own need to get work done. I forget that when the call ends and I check the checkbox and I am no longer thinking of them, my clients and their problems and their hopes will still be real. On days like these, I have tried to begin a new practice. Right before each meeting, I check in with myself and acknowledge how overwhelmed I feel. But then I literally visualize myself moving that overwhelm, that stack of files taking up my vision, to the side, so that when I meet with my clients, I can see them and their reality more clearly. My other example has to do not with loving people, but with loving creation. After I am done with work, I often find my way down to the Washington Avenue Green, a quiet place by my house where you can sit by the river. Sometimes when I am feeling cynical, I show up hoping that a glimpse of the water will spark some feeling of hope or awe in me. It never works like that, though. The more I hope that the beauty of creation will change my mood on a rotten day, the more distant from that beauty I feel. I think that loving the earth is a lot like loving other people. If you approach creation as just another tool for your own purposes, just another way to feel better or worse, you cannot appreciate it as something so much more real than your own expectations. Indeed, it has been the times I have shown up to the river with the least amount of expectation that I have been the most moved and changed by its beauty. In closing, I want to say that I hope the view of love and obligation I have presented here is not too esoteric. I do not mean to describe love as something that just happens in your head, though I do think that is where love must start. As I mentioned before, I believe that when we begin to see that something beyond ourselves is real, our way of behaving must radically change. How can we clearly see the reality of our trans neighbors and not be moved to use their correct gender pronouns? How can we clearly see the reality of those who are victims of police violence and not be moved to march in the streets? When we put down our ways we were taught to think about race and gender, when we put down the ways we want to think about those topics to feel comfortable and become receptive to the reality of other people, that is love. And when we act based on that receptivity, that is love in action. In this scripture reading, Jesus tells his disciples that they are his friends and not his servants. I want to ask you all to reflect this week on someone or some group that has a particular role to serve in your mental life, that of the client to be helped, or the boss to be complained about, or the child to make you proud. I want to ask you to practice putting aside that constrained view you have of the person in question so that you can be confronted with their full reality. I hope that the result will be something like what Jesus describes in this passage. Perhaps you will begin to know them better, which is another way of saying, perhaps you will come to more fully love them. Thanks be to God. Amen.
use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Teach me, Lord, to do the work that you would have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow. Call me and I'll go. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Teach me, Lord, to do the work that you would have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow. Call me and I'll go. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth.
Thank you, Carly, for that message. And like Sana said in the chat, lots to sit with. As we turn to our response to God's love, our response to the reality of love in daily life, I think so much about how love is all the pieces, is that interpersonal interaction, but also the collective action. And that love comes from within us and is shared. And so I want to invite you to give to this church. You can give electronically. You can text any amount to 84321. You can go to tabunited.org to contribute. You can send a check to the church. You can set up your bank to automatically send a check to the church, which is what I do. And I would help anyone who doesn't know how to do that. I will help you through that. It definitely helps me to do what I need to do. But I would also invite you to check out the part of the website of Tab United where we talk about our community partners, because some portion of what you give to the church goes out beyond our church into the community of folks who are doing the work of love. And I invite you to pick one of those organizations and pray for them and find a way to be connected to that work and what that work does in you.
In case you have fallen by the wayside of life. Your dreams and visions shattered, you're all broken inside. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. In case your situation has turned upside down, and all that you've accomplished is now on the ground, you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. You who are broken, stop by the potter's house. Stop by the potter's house. Give him the fragments of your broken life, my friend. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. You who are broken, stop by the potter's house. You who need mending, stop by the potter's house. Give him the fragments of your broken, my friend. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost.
Please join me in prayer. God, the witnesses of your love surround us. We learn more about your love from each other and from the witnesses of your creation. As we go in our week, we think about the ways that love is within us, and love comes out from us, and how we are connected to each other by your love. Thank you for the opportunity to learn and grow and remember who we belong to and who loves us each day. Amen.
Amen. This is the time, friends, where we gather to share our joys and concerns and testimonies in a time of prayer. So if you would like to lift up a prayer that's on your heart, whether that's a joy that you're bringing this morning, a celebration you'd like to lift up, or something more that you're struggling with, a prayer for someone else, or any situation that's on your heart, this is the time to lift up those concerns. So we use the chat box. If you're new, just a little orientation. If you click on the chat box, you can type in a prayer, and we will, and I will just in a few moments begin to read those prayers out loud so that we can all hear them. So feel free to do that now, just to share what's on your heart, and we will take some time to listen to each other, to celebrate with each other, and also to carry one another's burdens, to lift up our burdens to God. And so let us come to God in prayer now and share what's on our heart. And also know that if you don't feel like you can share, or you just want to spend some time to lift up what is silent or on your heart and lift that up in silence, that is also okay. So let us join now and share what's on our hearts. From Carly. Thank you to my family and friends who came to hear me preach today. I want to especially lift up my mom, Kelly Frieders, on Mother's Day, and her mom, Carol Lawrence. It is our first Mother's Day without Carol. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jim Gerhard, continued prayers for my older brother, Paul, who was moved yesterday from the ICU to the intermediate care unit at Capital Regional in Trenton, following having been struck by a car last Sunday while on his motorcycle. So we pray for Jim's older brother, Paul. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Susan Teagan, Jaron and I remembered the second anniversary of Bob Case's death, Jaron's dad, this last week, and also his daughter, Portia, who died on the same day he did 10 years ago. Grateful for this community of support and love through the whole journey. Thank you, Susan. We join you in that remembrance and thanksgiving for Bob, especially, and his life. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jean and Amy, prayers for our rabbi who will be undergoing radiation for malignant spots on her lungs. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Gwyneth, prayers of healing for Holly, my long-term substitute at my work, who has become a true friend this year. She left work early due to not feeling well on Friday, and it was determined that she had been having a mild heart attack when she arrived at the hospital. She is still in the hospital, and she will be undergoing further tests this week. Prayers for healing for Holly. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Pax, a prayer for Colombia, India, and the many, a prayer for Colombia, India, and the many places in the world where COVID-19 continues to devastate communities and expose the existing injustices. A prayer for healing and justice and action. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Lucinda, Please pray for my eighth graders who are transitioning to ninth grade and new schools after such a strange school year. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Verona. I would like to lift up myself and my mother. We have not been in contact for some time. Please pray for healing. I want to give thanks to my godmother, who has been a loving mother figure. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sana. Prayers for all of us estranged or have tumultuous relationships with our mothers. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Kelly and Ray Frieders. Prayers for Carly as she travels to Houston to attend her commencement ceremony from Rice University, 1 year after her graduation. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Chris Page, a more specific prayer request for my two Columbian Seminary colleagues. David, who lives in Bogota, where he can hear rockets and shooting from his bed. Paola is struggling in New Jersey, knowing all that is going on in their country. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jennifer, Rose, and Levi. Prayers of thanksgiving for all the teachers who've nurtured their students during this wild year. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And from Gwyneth. Prayers for the ethnic minority being terrorized again in Eritrea. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Elizabeth Kingfield. Elizabeth, I might struggle with this name. I'll try to read it. And a prayer for Jahaira De Alto Balenciaga, a transgender activist, ballroom legend, and loving and generous house mother who was murdered in Boston this week by a guest in her home. We give thanks for her life and her tremendous impact on all who she loved, and we mourn with her family. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank each of you for sharing these prayers on your heart. We lift up both the concerns, the struggles, and the pain we carry, and we also lift up and give thanks for the celebrations and the joy that we have and we're also sharing today. We also lift up all the silent prayers on our hearts. So let's take now a few moments to sing together, and as we sing, to raise up all that has been shared. Let's pray and continue singing.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit. Grace, Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Oh God, we continue to lift up the prayers on our hearts. We thank you, God, this morning that surely you have fallen on Carly Frieders. Your spirit fell on her this morning as she brought us a word and shared truth and wisdom and call and a call to us this morning. We thank you for that word. We thank you, God, for the reminder of your love and of the many ways in which we have come to know and experience love in our lives, for the many gifts we receive of love every day. Sometimes we notice and sometimes we don't, but they are there. And your hand extends those gifts to us. We ask God for more awareness, for our eyes to see and to receive the love that you give us in all its forms. We ask God for our strength to practice this very simple but yet difficult commandment to love each other. What does that look like for us? What does that mean? How can we practice that? And we remember, God, that it is your love, your first love, that fuels our ability to love one another. So keep us, God, attached to the vine, that is you, attached to your love. And keep us in your will and in your way every day. God, you have heard the prayers of your people. You have listen to your children praying. You know what struggles we face. You know where we struggle, where we're hurting, where we are broken and need mending. Be with each of us in those places today. Come to us in our brokenness. Be our companion and our guide. And God, help us then also to be companions to one another. So we ask all these things, God, in this time and on this day. We lift up all that has been spoken. We lift up all that is unspoken, but remains on our hearts. And God, we join our hearts and our voices together as we pray the prayer that you taught us. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer, in whatever version or language you are comfortable with. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we sing this closing song together based on a Navajo prayer, I hope for each of you that peace, the peace of God, love, and hope all follow you this week. And I invite you to go to Gallery View to see each other as we sing this song. And if helpful, feel free to watch Lucinda for the motions on this song. Let's sing together. Before me is peace. Behind me is peace. Below me is peace.
above me is peace, around me is peace, within me is peace, around me is peace, within me is peace, before me is love. Before me is love, behind me is love, below me is love, above me is love, around me is love, within me is love. Around me is love, within me is love, before me is hope, before me is hope, behind me is hope, below me is hope, above me is hope. Around me is hope, within me is hope, around me is hope, within me is hope.
Amen. And now, friends, may the hope, joy, love, peace of God surround you, be within you, guide you this day and throughout this week. Go in peace to do the work of love, to love God, your neighbor, and creation with all your heart, soul, and strength. Amen.